This Morning, America's First News starts right after this. When shopping for car insurance, consider this. GEICO has been saving people money on car insurance for over 75 years. So if you're serious about savings, it's simple. Go to geico.com. After 75 years, they know how to save you money.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This Morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
Trump asks for unity. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka. It is Wednesday, March 1. Welcome aboard. Here's what we have for you this hour.
President Trump identifies what he wants in an Obamacare replacement and also appears open to compromise on immigration. We'll have analysis of his speech in just a moment.
Tornadoes are blamed for at least two deaths in the central U.S. as violent storms rolled from Arkansas up through Illinois.
Terrifying moments in Gulf Shores, Alabama, where an SUV plowed into a marching band and a Mardi Gras parade. Three students were critically hurt.
And how to find a better credit card if you've been using the same one for years.
Well, you want to be just taking a look at the market every once in a while. That's, you know, as simple as going to, you know, some of the many credit card comparison websites that are out there, paying attention to offers that you get in the mail, and just, you know, making sure that periodically that you are using the best card for your particular situation.
Kelly Grant at CNBC.com on how to keep your plastic current. Her guidance in about 20 minutes. President Trump's first remarks to Congress in a primetime address lasted about an hour with 90-plus interruptions for applause. He promised to rebuild the nation's roads and bridges and find an elusive compromise on an overhaul of immigration laws.
It is not compassionate but reckless to allow uncontrolled entry from places where proper vetting cannot occur.
The president also offered more specifics about an Obamacare replacement, saying a new plan should provide coverage for pre-existing conditions and minimize disruptions for people with coverage under Obamacare.
We should help Americans purchase their own coverage through the use of tax credits and expanded health savings accounts, but it must be the plan they want, not the plan forced on them by our government.
The most emotional point of the night was when Mr. Trump singled out the wife of Navy SEAL Ryan Owens, who was killed in what he called a highly successful raid in Yemen. There were extended rounds of applause for Karen Owens. Meanwhile, there are reports President Trump will soon sign a revised executive order banning certain travelers from entering the U.S., but unlike the original version, the Wall Street Journal says it's likely to apply only to future visa applicants from those targeted countries. Let's get some analysis and reaction to the speech from the president from Paul Singer, Washington correspondent for USA Today. He's with us live this morning. Paul, please tell me we at least sent coffee and donuts to prop you up. Are you pretty much operating on an all-nighter at this point?
Yeah, well, when you used the word live this morning, there was quotes around that word, I think.
It's the difference between live and alive. Is that what you're saying?
Precisely.
Who was this guy, by the way, that appeared to be President Trump last night with this softer tone?
Well, in fact, it was interesting. It was a very presidential speech, which should not come as a surprise to us. It was, after all, what amounts to a State of the Union address.
Yeah.
But, in fact, it is a bit of a surprise because we have not seen Donald Trump in this kind of format before doing this very presidential thing, standing there and offering a very optimistic, very muscular, I would say, and in some ways pretty aggressive, but still a very optimistic, very presidential speech, standing at the podium and accepting the applause of the members of Congress. He did pretty well, I think, in the format.
The biggest takeaways in your mind as you watch this unfold?
Well, you know, I think obviously the Karen Owens owned the night, right?
Yeah.
The moment where the president points out the widow of the Navy SEAL and the crowd goes wild and continues to go wild. And even Mr. Trump is able to sort of swell in that moment and turns and says, well, she just set a record for the applause or
yeah.
something like that. You know, that will be the moment that people will remember. But I think, you know, the speech itself, the content of the speech itself, he began to really lay out for the first time some broad legislative parameters, and you begin to see just how much of a challenge some of these things might be to achieve.
The the Obamacare specifics, right, there were like a handful of things that he now started to at least narrow the focus on a little bit.
Yeah, and there are a handful of things, again, that may not help you get legislation passed, right? I mean, everybody has been saying for quite some time that you're going to keep people who have pre-existing conditions covered. That's sort of a baseline thing that Republicans have said they're not going to get rid of. We start talking about tax credits and healthcare savings accounts. Well, that's worthwhile for people who make money, or make enough money to buy health insurance. But it's not worthwhile to people who don't have jobs, for instance, or otherwise don't have the income to buy insurance. And Mr. Trump said last night that the way you get people to have insurance is by making it cheap enough. Well, that's hard to do. And in the private healthcare market, we've discovered healthcare is a lot of things. Health insurance is a lot of things, but it ain't cheap. So we're not sure exactly how you get there.
We're speaking live this morning with Paul Singer, Washington correspondent for USA Today. He's providing a little analysis of President Trump's first address to a joint session of Congress last night. Was there any moment or moments during his remarks that made you scratch your head?
The one that really caught my eye, and I can't swear, I'm not an immigration expert, but when he said this business about a merit-based immigration system, one eyebrow, I think, went up. I can't imagine how Congress, particularly Democrats in Congress, are going to respond to that proposal that you know, it becomes bring us your tired, your hungry, your well-educated masses.
Yeah.
That's not what we've been doing for the past five decades, and you know, most of our immigration now is for family-based immigration. Dramatic change.
Yeah, he did say Canada and Australia do that, right? Weren't those the two examples he cited when he made those points?
Yeah. Yeah, and again, I'm right. It's not out of the question. We also have a program, the H-1B visa program, where you bring in high-skilled immigrants for specific job categories. So it's certainly not unheard of, but limiting the U.S. immigration system to that is probably going to face enormous opposition.
Mm. How about this? What was that? That voice office that he announced, the victims of immigration, something, right? That
was a little weird.
Yeah, it was weird. It sort of elicited a groan from lawmakers, it seemed like, or they weren't sure what it was.
Yeah, again, what Trump is talking about here, and this is something that he's pounded on over and over again. He had four people in the audience, I believe yesterday, who were victims of immigrant violence. That is, people who have lost family members because an illegal immigrant killed them. And it sounds like he's creating this office that will provide literally a voice to those people. It'll be specifically an office at the Department of Justice to help victims of immigrant violence. It's an odd thing to create an office around, and it's clearly, again, built to pound away on his theme that illegal immigrants are bad people doing bad things in America, and we have to stop them.
Yeah. Hey, Paul, thanks for a few minutes, as always. Much appreciated. Paul Singer, Washington correspondent for USA Today, with us live this morning providing analysis. By the way, just to clarify, I referenced it. I'll give you what the acronym stands for. So it's VOICE. It's Victims of Immigration Crime Engagement. 14 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
Ransomware is software that can infiltrate your business through email, enabling cyber criminals to hijack sensitive information as ransom for your own data's release. Leveraging Barracuda email security with advanced threat detection can stop a ransomware attack in its tracks. As an added measure, Barracuda Backup allows you to recover your data without having to surrender to extortion. Crime doesn't pay when you protect your business data with Barracuda. Go to Barracuda.com/ransomware to learn more.
Thanks for spending time with us on this Wednesday. 12 Alabama students have been hurt after an SUV taking part in a Mardi Gras parade plowed into a marching band ahead of it. It happened in the city of Gulf Shores. Those hurt range in age from 12 to 17. City spokesman Grant Brown said three students are in critical condition but stable. Six of those injured are middle school students. Six are high school students.
Gulf Shores High School Band started their parade toward the beach. A late model SUV, who was driven by a 73-year-old male, who we believe to be from Fairhope, Alabama, accelerated and struck 12 of the band members.
Mr. Brown said a Ford Expedition hit the Gulf Shores High School marching band. Authorities do not believe the crash was intentional. There were no signs of drugs or alcohol. An emergency responder said there's at least one video showing the accident, and police also hope to retrieve information about the vehicle's speed and movement from a computer on the vehicle. A crisis counselor was at a local high school to comfort students and parents who witnessed the crash. 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning, Jennifer Koschenka is here with more of America's First News.
Gordon, in his first address to a joint session of Congress, President Trump defended his tumultuous presidency and said he was ready to reach across party lines and put aside trivial fights.
While we may be a nation divided on policies, we are a country that stands united in condemning hate and evil in all of its very ugly forms.
Trump called on Congress to work with him on overhauling health care, changing the tax code, and rebuilding the nation's infrastructure and military. Airport officials and civil rights lawyers around the country are getting ready for Trump's new travel ban, mindful of the chaos that accompanied his initial executive order, but hopeful the forthcoming version will be rolled out in a more orderly way. The new order is expected to target people from 6 of the original 7 predominantly Muslim countries, but would exempt travelers who already have visas. The latest draft no longer includes Iraq. Attorney General Jeff Sessions says the Justice Department will pull back from investigations into alleged civil rights abuses by local police departments. Sessions told a gathering of state attorneys general yesterday that the intervention had made police less aggressive, and he vowed to crack down on violent crime as a central part of his tenure. At least 2 people were killed last evening as strong storms revved up across the Midwest from a late winter storm. Compact but strong storms known as supercells caused damage from Arkansas to Iowa and Illinois. Sergeant Jason Bradley is with the Illinois State Police.
Ottawa PD right now is advising that there has been one fatality caused by the storm damage. It was from a falling tree.
Another person was killed in Missouri. Wind-whipped wildfires destroyed homes in Texas. It's one tiny step for womankind. After the hit Hidden Figures, which highlights a group of black women and their contribution to the space program, Lego has announced it will sell a Women of NASA set of its minifigures. The set includes mathematician Katherine Johnson, whom Taraji P. Henson played in Hidden Figures. Also featured are Margaret Hamilton, an MIT computer scientist who developed the flight software for the Apollo craft, and Sally Ride, the first American woman in space.
That's pretty cool.
I love it.
Very good. The figure for, say, the character played by Taraji P. Henson, though.
And stop, the outfit. Just stop. Don't even go there. Do not.
23
stop.
Minutes after the hour. Glad you could spend some time with us on this Wednesday. When was the last time you did some research on a credit card that would work better for you? The credit card commercial tagline from Capital One, right? What's in your wallet? Is actually a pretty good question for us to consider, according to Kelly Grant at CNBC.com. She says many people have stuck with a favorite credit card for years, potentially missing rewards opportunities. Kelly, what do you have for us?
If you are not paying attention to some of the credit card offers that are on the market, you could really be missing out in terms of extra money you're putting toward paying toward interest every month, or just missed rewards if you're the person who might be chasing that or interested in chasing that.
Got it. So how do you update? Meaning what here?
Well, you want to be just taking a look at the market every once in a while. That's, you know, as simple as going to, you know, some of the many credit card comparison websites that are out there, paying attention to offers that you get in the mail, and just, you know, making sure that periodically that you are using the best card for your particular situation.
Okay. And then what? If you see something better, just jump on it and put that other one to kind of the back of your wallet?
Exactly. And, you know, some of the things that might make you want to take a look would be if you are using a card that carries some sort of an annual fee, that's a really good nudge every year before you're charged that fee again. Take a look at what's out there in the market and just make sure, because usually when you have a card with a fee, you want to know that, you know, you're not paying for benefits that you now could get for free elsewhere, or you could be getting for a better value elsewhere. And you also want to make sure that you're still using all of those perks. So if you're paying for, say, access to an airline lounge or, you know, free luggage on your favorite airline, like, those are perks where if you haven't really traveled in the past year and you look ahead and you go, I don't know that I'm doing that this year, why are you paying for those perks? You know, that might be something that you're better off with a different card.
All right. So what other points to make here, things to watch for?
Credit health. If you have had a great improvement in your credit score since you last shopped for a credit card, you might actually be eligible for a better rate. And that's something where, you know, you might not even be getting rid of your current card, but you could be, you know, calling them up and saying, hey, you know, I'm seeing these offers where, you know, everyone else is offering me a better interest rate. Could I be eligible for a better interest rate? You might just be able to get that. If your payment habits have changed, if you suddenly see that you are carrying a balance more often than not, it might be time to look for a new card with a lower ongoing rate or a promotional offer where you're getting 0% on those purchases or balance transfers for at least the first little while.
We're speaking with Kelly Grant, consumer reporter at CNBC.com. She's also a certified financial planner, and we're talking about signs it's time to hunt for a new credit card. What about this a major purchase here?
Yes, we see tons of great sign-up bonuses that are out there these days, and those can be worth several hundred dollars. So if you're smart about how you're doing this, because a lot of those bonuses require you to spend a couple hundred to a couple thousand dollars in the first little bit of having the card to get that great bonus, you know, that might actually be worth it if you're saying you're going to take a big vacation soon that you knew you were going to do it, you're buying furniture or some other sort of a major purchase. That can be a great way to maybe get a little bit more back on that purchase and get some good purchase terms on it as well.
Thanks, Kelly. Kelly Grant from CNBC.com. It's 30 minutes now after the hour. On This Morning, America's First News. Are you looking for a great wine at a great price? The solution is Cameron Hughes Wines. He's got a fascinating story. Cameron Hughes has relationships with these high-end wineries and producers all around the world, where he sources his wine and sells direct to you for much less than you'd pay under other labels. His wines deliver on price, value, and quality. Best price, best wine. Quality guaranteed. The best part is Cam guarantees all his wines. If you're unhappy with any bottle you buy from him, he'll make it right. Now, Cameron Hughes doesn't typically offer discounts because his prices are so much less than retail, but he's offering our listeners a fantastic deal on your first order of three or more bottles. Free shipping on that order and a sommelier-grade corkscrew. Only if you go to chwine.com and use my code DEAL. The only way to get free shipping and your free sommelier corkscrew, go to chwine.com. chwine.com. Shop for your wine. Enter my code DEAL at checkout. Don't wait. It's a limited time offer. This wine is fantastic. The deal is phenomenal. And I want you to go online and order it today. Again, chwine.com with the code DEAL.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. Like us on Facebook or send us an email, thismorning@compassmedianetworks.com.
Thanks for being with us on this Wednesday, March 1. Gordon Deal with Jennifer Koshenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. President Trump asks Congress to unite behind his proposals. Celebrities reacted on Twitter to his remarks. Oh, wait, nobody cares. Parent company of Snapchat prices its IPO today. At least two people killed by tornadoes in middle America. Three high school students hurt in Alabama when an SUV in a Mardi Gras parade accidentally plowed into them. Nintendo is suing a company that offers Mario Kart rides through Tokyo, complete with costumes, and why a two-year-old wouldn't be invited to a high school prom. That story in about 20 minutes. President Trump is reportedly preparing a revised executive order banning certain travelers from entering the U.S. But unlike the original version, the Wall Street Journal says it's likely to apply only to future visa applicants from targeted countries. In the original order, you'll recall, those countries included Iran, Syria, Libya, Yemen, Somalia, Sudan, and Iraq. But multiple reports say Iraq will not be on the list this time. Exempting existing visa holders would mark a notable scaling back of the original order. Let's get analysis now from Philadelphia-based attorney Joseph Marone, who's with us live this morning. Joseph, one angle said exempting these current visa holders could put this new ban on better legal footing. Do you agree?
Yeah, I think that what you're going to see in this revised kind of streamlined order, it's going to enable it to focus on vetting those the people coming in from those six or seven countries that were outlined. And by doing that, I think it's going to be a lot cleaner and a lot easier, and you're going to see less challenges from the courts, which is always, you know, when they do that, when you have the challenges, it's always going to kind of derail what the administration wants to accomplish.
Right. On a related note then, do you see kind of more legal challenges with this second executive order on immigration?
Well, it depends how much they really cut out. I know that they're going to allow more of a due process right with people with current or pending visas who are traveling through once they get on the plane. If they're on their way, they're going to allow them in. They're not going to allow that mayhem and chaos to happen in the airports where people are going to be stopped from coming into the country. I think another issue that's kind of going to be really looked at is the standing issue and people who can bring these lawsuits and challenge them. A lot of times you see people who immigrate from these various countries have relationships with either universities or other, you know, work with the government that are needed within this country and are part of what's going on, and they have claims that they want to challenge. And they really don't, the government doesn't really want to see challenges, because the more that the courts can get involved, it's only going to derail or kind of stop what the administration wants to do, which is truly, you know, vetting, you know, we're talking terrorists coming into the country and trying to clean out the bad people coming in from these countries and allowing the good people to continue to go back and forth.
This story I'm reading, too, says the new order is expected to remove a provision giving preference to refugees who are members of religious minorities. Would this help in court?
No question. I mean, they have this preference for certain religious minorities are going to be allowed in from the countries as long as they can prove that, obviously, their religion is tied to their beliefs in that certain Muslim country. There'll be an exemption there for that. So that'll truly help out. I mean, all those religious claims, and that was a big part of the challenge that was in the Ninth Circuit, will obviously be knocked out, and it'll allow less challenges and allow this order to work. I mean, that's what I think they want to see this thing happen, is allow it for it to work.
We're speaking live this morning with Joseph Marone, attorney based in Philadelphia, talking about President Trump preparing this revised executive order on immigration. It's been said that these six or seven countries were targeted for greater scrutiny under the Obama administration, but have we really seen any kind of terrorist activity from these countries? Or does that matter?
Listen, this was a long-standing investigation. A lot of the terrorism acts that have happened over, let's say, the last 10 years, you know, it's been shown that a lot of this activity came from these countries. I mean, that's your starting point. But you just, you know, terrorism is what it is. You're trying to prevent it from happening. So obviously, has this been the key places where it's occurred, or the people that are coming or causing terrorism? I mean, you have to start there. I do know that they're going to take Iraq out of the equation. In fact, Iraq has made a big push and hired some big-time law firms to represent their interest and allow them to be off of the ban. And I think it's happening, and you'll see that in the order when it comes out probably in the next couple of days.
All right, so ultimately, does this executive order survive legal challenges and get put in place fairly quickly?
Yeah, I mean, listen, the president has the ultimate power, the plenary power to do this. He's going to, you know, When we initially put the original order in, there was a lot of flaws in it. I think they went back with a lot of bright legal minds, tightened it up, talked to a lot of people. They're going to get it really focused, and I think it'll serve the purpose. And you're also going to see a big push, you know, just with the deportation of a lot of existing illegal immigrants in this country, and I think there's a plan to do that. So it's going to be a culmination of having this in place to kind of vet people coming in from these six or seven countries that they believe terrorist activity comes from.
Yeah.
They figure that's going to, you know, obviously give us, protect the country, which is the ultimate goal, but you're going to also see a big push on the immigration side of deportation in this country of illegals, which you'll see over the next week of a lot of new executive orders just on that issue.
And the criminal element, I think, being at the top of the Trump priority list. Thanks for a few minutes, as always. Joseph Marone, attorney based in Philadelphia, talking about this second executive order on immigration that the Trump administration is preparing to release in the coming days. It's 19 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Reminder, by the way, we can connect on social media. You can friend us on Facebook. You may have just watched us on Facebook Live. You can follow us on Twitter as well with the username at This Morning Show. Thanks for being with us. Good Wednesday to you. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, the boom of mobile food trucks in recent years has another recently discovered benefit. The Associated Press says that a taco truck that became stranded in a massive Seattle traffic jam earlier this week came to the rescue of hungry drivers by opening up and serving lunch on the interstate. A tanker truck carrying propane rolled over on Seattle's Interstate 5 on Monday morning, shutting area roads for about 8 hours amid concerns about a hazardous material spill. Frustrated and hungry drivers were excited to see, however, that the El Tajin taco truck had opened for business right on the highway.
Wow.
Thomas Lopez, who owns the truck, told the Seattle Times that he and his crew were on their way to serve lunch before the tanker crashed and that, quote, "We are ready to serve food everywhere."
Now, in New Jersey, where we are,
yes,
if that taco truck had opened for business on the side of the highway in this emergency situation, it would have been fined and shut down for not having a license to operate in that particular area.
Right. State police would have been right on that, most likely.
Now, because I expected to hear some entrepreneurial stories coming out of this, because the lines, say, may have been long.
Lines were very long,
So the guy at the front of the line buys 20 tacos for $40 at $2 each, goes to the back of the line, and sells them for $3.50 each.
Oh,
how about that?
Gotcha. Or, you know, people don't want to get out of their cars, kind of walks down through the traffic.
Remember yesterday you mentioned the guy who developed an app at lunchtime for something?
Yes.
Yeah. Somebody could have developed, like, the El Cajin taco app. Delivery on the highway, right?
And, I don't know.
That's right. Walk around from car to car.
I don't know. Sounds like taco scalping to me, if you want to give it a name.
Hashtag taco scalping.
There you go.
Yes, taco gate. Good.
We're going to get that going today. And the 40-yard dash, Gordon, has always received elevated attention at the NFL Scouting Combine, which is underway this week in Indianapolis. Teams covet speed, particularly at the skill positions, so players are already motivated to sprint as fast as they can. Now, BleacherReport.com says that Adidas is upping the ante by offering a private island to anyone who breaks the 40-yard dash record while wearing a pair of its cleats. The current official benchmark belongs to running back Chris Johnson, who ran the 40 in 4.24 seconds back in 2008. Last year, Adidas offered $1 million to anyone who broke Johnson's record to no avail. It's also safe to say that any prospect fast enough to break Johnson's time will receive another grand prize, an NFL contract.
Yes.
Which is not guaranteed, so you want to keep that island for, like, investment purposes, right?
Very good. 4.24, I didn't realize he ran it that fast.
Yeah. Yeah, and which is funny because he's the only big name near the top of the list, and the top 10 people who have broken that record or done well in that record, he's the only real big name, the guy who really sort of made it really big in the NFL. Yeah. So it takes more than just speed to make it in the NFL.
That's good points.
That's the lesson there.
Good points. That you just, I mean, you hit your top speed almost immediately.
You have to.
Because everybody's fast.
Yes.
But the difference in 40 yards is how quickly can you get to your top speed.
Right? Yes.
Man. Woo. Transition seamlessly from presentation to meeting and from work to home with the Dell Latitude 13 7000 series, the laptop that takes care of business. The powerful performance and incredible battery life from this reliable business-class PC featuring Intel Core processors lets small business employees do their best work wherever work takes them. Learn more at Dell.com/radio. That's Dell.com/radio. 8 minutes in front of the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koschenka is back with more of America's First News.
Gordon, President Trump will ask Congress to approve a $1 trillion infrastructure bill, a push that would make good on a key campaign pledge. In his address to Congress last night, Trump said the bill would be financed through both public and private capital and would create millions of new jobs. Trump also said an immigration overhaul is necessary.
By finally enforcing our immigration laws, we will raise wages, help the unemployed, save billions and billions of dollars, and make our communities safer for everyone.
Trump toned down his fierce campaign rhetoric and never mentioned his usual foil, the media. Former Kentucky Governor Steve Beshear, who delivered the Democratic response, said every Republican plan to replace the Affordable Care Act would reduce the number of Americans covered, despite Trump's promises to the contrary. As governor, Beshear greatly expanded health care in his deeply red state. 12 Alabama students were injured, 3 critically, when an SUV taking part in a Mardi Gras parade plowed into a marching band ahead of it in Gulf Shores yesterday. Gulf Shores Police Chief Ed Delmore.
It was not involving drugs or alcohol, nor is there any indication that this was an intentional act. Every indication is that it was just a tragic accident.
Police say the 73-year-old driver is cooperating with the investigation. Swimmer extraordinaire Michael Phelps is taking up the issue of doping in international competition. The Olympic medalist testified yesterday before a congressional hearing on improving anti-doping measures, delivering the message that he doesn't believe the Olympics and other competitions are clean and that athletes don't believe in the testing system that's in place.
I can't describe how frustrating it is to see other athletes break through performance barriers in unrealistic time frames. knowing what I had to do to go through that.
Phelps, who has won 28 Olympic medals, says athletes get disillusioned when they see others cheat. He asks lawmakers to help ensure the system is fair and reliable. Well, we've been told not to eat it, but that's not stopping the founder of Dough Cookie Dough Confections in New York City. Police are waiting in long lines outside the month-old shop to eat scoops of cookie dough in a cup or a cone. The shop has been selling 1,500 pounds of cookie dough per day.
We do it anyway. Such rebels. Such rebels.
Yum.
5 minutes now in front of the hour. Finally today, a toddler and his mom will be special guests at a high school prom in Milford, Virginia. 17-year-old Taylor Schaefer, a student at Caroline High School, invited 2-year-old Finn Blumenthal to accompany her to the April dance. Finn was born with a congenital heart defect, or CHD, which causes life-threatening medical challenges. The teenager met the little boy through a mutual acquaintance and has been following his updates on Facebook. ABC News says when Finn was born, he survived 10 surgeries, including 3 on his heart. Monday, Ms. Schaefer officially invited Finn to prom with a marquee message at the local Chick-fil-A in Fredericksburg, which often holds fundraisers to raise money for Finn's medical bills. She says she hopes that taking little Finn to the prom will raise awareness for CHD. Flowers and a limo have been donated from local businesses. For Jennifer Koschenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.
If you're familiar with cloud computing, you probably know that Amazon Web Services offers a complete set of secure compute, storage, application, and deployment services that help companies launch and scale their IT infrastructures while lowering costs. But did you know that you're still responsible for protecting your own AWS-based assets, meaning your applications and data, from advanced cyber threats? Protect your AWS with Barracuda Network's advanced firewall solutions. Visit AWS Marketplace or barracuda.com/AWS to learn more.